Today, if you've been following along on unrealbluegrass.com, which is the official website of this program, you know that today we have a wonderful guest at the top of the hour, Ronnie Reno. Ronnie Reno has been in bluegrass for so long that nobody can remember. He started so young with his father, Don. Did a lot of music with some great years with the Osborne Brothers, Merle Haggard, so much great music. And Ronnie just continues doing good stuff with music on broadcasting and the new album, Lessons Learned, is fabulous. We're going to talk to Ronnie about Lessons Learned, touch a little bit about some of his experiences with bluegrass over the years, which many of you know, but you're going to enjoy this a lot. Coming up next, as I promised, Ronnie Reno, we're going to talk about Lessons Learned, and you know, you can't help but divert a little bit from the topic when you're talking to Ronnie, because he's done so much and contributes so much to music and has lived so much of it, and he's just a great guy to chat with. Coming up right now on Unreal Bluegrass, this is Ronnie Reno. Well, I'm very happy to welcome back. It's been a while for Ronnie Reno to Unreal Bluegrass. How you doing, Ronnie?
I'm doing fine, Steve, and it has been a while.
It's been too long. It's been too long, and we have to stop doing that. The last time we did this was before, right before you were IBMA Broadcaster of the Year, if that takes us back any.
That's going back to 2013.
2013. I was surprised to look that up myself.
I think you need to call me every 2 years whether you need to or not.
That's right. Maybe I will. I think I'll put that on my calendar. Put that on my rotating calendar. Call Ronnie every once in a while.
It's always good to hear from you.
Oh, man. Listen, I enjoy talking to you. I could find excuses. I just have a good time talking to Ronnie Reno. I start smiling, you start laughing, and I'm laughing half the time. I don't even know why, except Ronnie's laughing. So.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. You spread the cheer around. Right now you're spreading a lot of good cheer. I've listened to this thing to death, the brand new album called Lessons Learned. And I want to talk about that, and we'll talk about who's on it, but other things too. But man, I'll just use the word. It's a sweet album. Lessons Learned is, well, you've really put together a nice collection on this thing. I love it. I was sitting in my office last night listening over and over, and I thought, well, this is my favorite. Then it run through again, and I thought, this is my favorite. That's pretty good. I've already played two or three cuts off of the album on the Saturday show, and I love it. I love it, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. We've got a great group, and that's all my band that's on it. I did add Sonia Isaacs singing some high harmony for me, and Harry Stinson put him in there for a little percussion. But that's just my band, the Reno Tradition, that's on there.
Well, it's good.
And they're a great band. Yeah, I'll give a shout out before we get gone today on them boys.
Oh yeah, sure. I probably, of that group, I'm probably more familiar with Mike Scott Moore because I play banjo.
Yeah.
So I focus on Mike, to me, as one of the most underappreciated banjo players in the band playing today. And I don't know why that is. He smiles all the time. People ought to love him.
He does. He does. No, Mike is solid. He really is a solid banjo player, and he's a very tasty banjo player.
Exactly.
He's been with me for a long time, and what a wonderful treat it is to have. He's been with me since 2001.
Wow.
It's hard to believe that, for sure.
For a long time, it was a contest between him and Alan Shelton as who was going to smile the most when they picked the banjo.
I think Mike can take
it. I think he could. I think he could have. I just think I try to do that for fun. I play banjo for fun and had a little band, but I have to focus. Sure. I got that scowl on my face, but Mike's just beaming with. He's just having a good time. He just says he enjoys it so much, you know.
He is. He played great on Lessons Learned, too.
He did. Yeah. Listen, the album, we were getting ready to go on the air here, and I was telling you, Ronnie, I believe this is your dilemma, and it's just because of your nature. You try as hard as you can to sing sad, sad songs, and I'll give you one on here that'll get you in that mood, but even with the Lessons Learned and the first cut off of the album, Lower Than Lonesome, which ought to be you can't hardly record a sad song.
Well, you know, I don't guess I can.
You're trying.
I can. Fortunately, I've always been pretty even keeled. I'm a Libra, so I'm pretty even, and I know the difference between being sad and being happy, but I prefer being happy. So, you know, I guess that's where that comes from.
Well, the first cut off the album, Lower Than Lonesome, and I know you can talk about that ought to be Lower Than Lonesome's pretty lonely. Like you say, it's everybody can be I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, but that's actually a very upbeat tune that you got.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I started writing it was a message in it, and my message, you know, the high lonesome sound is a high lonesome sound in bluegrass, you know, but I wanted to sort of write about a low lonesome feeling that was still kept in the bluegrass flavor, and which is up tempo. And so hopefully I achieved it.
Oh, you did. You did. I mean, it's just right. It's one of those ones you just start tapping your foot and the medley, the melody gets in your head. I'm sorry. And the tempo,
I'm real proud of Lower Than Lonesome. It has actually been number one on Airplay Direct for the entire month of March. Mm-hmm. So I was really thrilled with that.
I've seen the little video that you do. You're doing something. Of course, you've been way ahead of the curve on the TV show and all the different media that you've been. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. But I have seen the video that you released that talks about the song Lower Than Lonesome on this album. And so you're doing all the right things to get the word out and let people know what's going on.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you. Anymore,
they
don't know it's there, they don't know to request it, or they don't know to go buy it or anything like that. So, we're definitely putting a push on social media. We're putting a push on radio. We're putting a push on television. We're putting a push on every means that we can to let people know that I do have a new project out.
And you have to. And things like let's say YouTube or Facebook, they're all free if you can use them.
Sure.
And every little push helps. And even as great as your band is in this album, every little push helps in this kind of market where, you know, the hard finding a CD is just hard to do in a regular brick and mortar store. So everything you can do to push it, man, as great as it is, do it all.
Oh, definitely. We're definitely on the same page, Steve, and I appreciate you having me on and talking about it, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I'm thrilled to be talking to you again. The title cut, Lessons Learned, again, you know, there are words in these songs that could make you think they were sadder, but, you know, it's not really. It's, you know, because of you up above and all this. I mean, these are positive songs. I think Ronnie Reno I say this again, I don't think you can. I'll give you one song on here, but I don't think you can sing a sad, sad, sad song that doesn't have some redemption in it, though, you know, personal or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I think of you, like I said, that to me is the one that, and they're all great melodies. And I said off of the air, your singing is just so, and I don't believe you're in there doing auto-tune. Your singing is just so comfortable and warm and solid all the way.
You know, that would have been, my dad would not have been in favor of putting auto-tune on me or him or anybody. But, you know, the way he recorded many years ago, if you couldn't stand there and sing on pitch, then you didn't deserve to be recording.
Well, that's right. Well, and I think that's one of the things when last time you were on, we patched Sonny in after talking for a while, and you guys have both had that same experience. I want to talk about that for a minute, though, with your father, Don, and all the stuff that you've come through. But it used to be you went in, you couldn't waste a lot of time. You didn't want to waste that wax. You didn't want to waste that vinyl. So by the time you got in the studio, you were ready to roll.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and that's just from old school, but yet it's a good school to be from, you know, where you okay, I'm going to sing on pitch, if for nobody else, myself,
right.
You know?
Right. Let's, Ronnie, we're going to talk about more of the album because that's what we're here about. And by the way, I will skip down the Sweet Rosalie in just a minute. But just, and everybody knows who Ronnie Reno is, and you're starting the music, but your singing voice has carried you. You're a great musician, but your singing voice has carried you through what would be careers for other people with your father. Let's go through that just real quick because Merle Haggard and the Osborne Brothers, I think the years you spent, 4 or 5 years with the Osborne Brothers, were some of the most productive and still stand up the time as much as anything they did. But can you just go through that a little bit?
Oh, you bet. You bet. It was a great time for me also going through that time because the band was just so tight and so good. And, of course, Bobby and Sonny, singing with them is like singing with a pipe organ. I mean, you talk about on tune and on pitch. It's just every night was the same. I mean, we just didn't have a bad night. You know, a lot of people have bad nights and they don't sing as well. But I don't think we never had one. we never had any bad nights. And I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time. I've been able to do that about four different times in my career, and I cherish those times. But Bob and Sonny Osborne, I'm telling you what, I don't think there'll be another two like them for many, many years. I was just very proud of what we created, what we done, and still am very proud of it today.
Oh, yeah. Well, and think of what you learned about singing in that harmony setting with those two.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, of course, you always sang, and you did the stuff with Merle Haggard, which was equally important and impressive. For that harmony position you had to play within Bobby and Sonny, they were so precise and demanding, and as I do.
You didn't sing the wrong part.
No.
And you didn't sing flat or sharp. that just wasn't acceptable.
So you go through and you bring all that knowledge and all that experience. That's why I just think when I listen to this new album, Lessons Learned, it's such a comfortable. You almost are effortless when you're singing through these songs. It's just a very comfortable, solid. There's no wavering. I'm not one of those people on TV that judges singers. I'm just telling you that this is a real solid, comfortable feel. Anyone that listens to it, they're going to know that you're just right in that pocket to where you want to be vocally.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's I learned so much from Bobby and Sonny, and so much from my dad, and so much from Merle. And to be able to phrase is really what all young entertainers and young singers need to do is learn where the middle of the beat is and before it and after it, and know what you can do with it. And that's what I try to do, is what I think is pleasing to someone's ear with the way I'm saying something. In time and in meter, and trying to bring a message to them is the way I approach singing. Not everybody's born with a voice like Bobby or a voice like Merle Haggard. So you have to work a little harder. And so when they turn out pretty decent, then you're a little bit more satisfied. Let me say that.
Well, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's the word we should use to discuss. Your voice has, of course, always been solid, but the phrasing, maybe that's what I keep hearing when I listen through these songs, that there's a nice, comfortable, and I'll use the word phrasing because you did, that pulls me into the lyric that you're singing and makes me appreciate the song. And, of course, the music is stellar. The playing is stellar. But then the lyric itself, which is really... what you hear first and foremost, I think. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the phrasing, Ronnie, that you've learned all those years and you've done it for forever and ever. But on this album, people can hear all the experience that you have in these songs, I think.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Steve. It's, it's been long. I went for quite a few years and didn't record audio. I was doing so much video, and of course, I try to put as much time as I can into every project I do. And, of course, with my TV show, I've been doing that now. I'm in my sixth season in prime time with RFD. And so it's really taken me away a lot from the audio side of the music business. And so I've been talking to Sam Passamano for at least 2 years about doing an audio. And finally he said, Ronnie, if we're going to do this, he said, you need to do it. And I said, okie dokie. And I said, I turned around and looked, and I said, well, wait a minute, what am I going to record? I'm ready to record, but I ain't got nothing to sing. So I actually started writing. I had not written either for quite a while.
Okay.
And so all these songs just sort of fell out in about a 6 to 8 month period.
Really?
I just sat down and started writing, and then got inspired. One came out, and I said, let me write about this. And then it came out, and then I said, I've got some more things I need to talk about. And so within a 6 to 8 month period, all these are brand new songs.
Oh, yeah.
All except my dad's. I had to go back and do one of dad's. We did Trail of Sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I did one of Lefty Frizzell's great songs. But other than that, well, these are all new babies, as they say.
Well, you did them right. There's all the. Hey, let me ask you this, and I want to go through the songs. We have to go through every one, but we're getting the feel of what you're doing here. You say in your words, it's been a while since you recorded audio, and of course you've done all this great TV, which is award-winning stuff, and you've exposed so many people to great bands, and Ronnie preserved them on video so people can see what forever and ever. which is a wonderful thing, by the way, because now we look back to those Martha White shows and we're thinking, wow, that was great. Well, you're helping keep that stuff alive so that people can see those great bands. You have such, and then you, what you do and the format of the show is just so unique, the way you handle
it.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, man. Well, it's all true. It's all from the heart. I'm not just saying this. I mean, I think it, you share a part, not just in the music that you play, but in preserving and keeping it alive. And we always have to make sure that that's done because there's ebbs and tides. You know, ebbs and it comes and goes, but we always know that there's going to be some stuff we can go back and.
Well, that's a passion of mine, and I know if I don't do it, it's, you know, you. Someone would do it, let me say that, but it's always been a passion, and unfortunately I got off to an early start of trying to do this. My dad gave me a pretty good base with some videos of his, and of course we just kept going and kept putting them together, and fortunately for us now, we're way over 100 shows just off of the stuff that we've done, just my personal shows, and so that's not counting all the vintage stuff that I have. Now,
sure.
Mac Wiseman helped me with a bunch of that stuff, and you know, so it takes you back. It really does, and shows how great all those artists were many, many years ago.
Oh, gosh. And they come from that same tradition you did, to where by the time you got on stage, you were doing it. You weren't working it out. You had worked it out by the time you did an album. You go and you do an album. You're ready to do the album because you've already worked through the songs. And then your tour is just, you got that much more perfection on what you've already done. I mean, just being able to do it. When you write all these songs and put this together for Lessons Learned, the album we're talking about, how do you put, this is always interesting to me because I've never had to do it, the order of songs. What goes into laying them out one through what I have here?
Well, I look at it as emotions, you know, bringing someone up a little bit and sort of taking them down a little bit and sort of getting in the middle of maybe you want to dance a little bit. You know, it's bringing them, you know, make it a pleasing and a wonderful experience that may have you reflecting back to a love you had many, many years ago. You could even have been in high school. When you had one, and if you're reflecting back, and of course, you know, it's just, I tried to put it in words. I know the deep part of your heart. I started writing that, and I actually wrote it for my son. But when I got to the end of it, I said, wait a minute. There's one. There's a very powerful one that I better say thanks to too.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's just. You try to take the four quarters and make the dollar is basically what I was trying to do with the whole project and make it an experience that, you know, in our world today, Steve, as you well know, everybody is in such a fast pace that if you're able to slow down and enjoy music is just and it's pleasing to you, then that's just a little bit of less stress that you got to go through, and so that's one of the things that's on my mind when I do a project like this.
You're so right, and you know, I will say this too to people listening that, you know, of course this is the days when you can buy one song of an album or whatever, but I knew you had put some effort because I could hear it as I listened through. I knew you'd put some effort, and I wanted to talk about that decision process and the order. But I will tell you this too, that when I start listening to Lower Than Lonesome as the first cut, I wind up listening to the whole album because it does kind of pull you through it. And so you've done a good job in selecting the tempo and then right in the middle you got an instrumental, you know, for all the instrumental heads out there, Reno's Mando Magic. So you get everybody jacked up on that again, then you do Trail of Sorrow, and then it just kind of all comes around. You did a good job of laying it out. I think that's important for recorded events like this.
Well, thank you. I hope the fans and the people that hopefully will maybe try to listen to it will appreciate it too. I really do. But thanks again, Steve.
Yeah, listen, it's all laid out real nice. I'll give you, I told you as a sad song. I told you that before we went on the air. I think, you know, oh, I think of you. I'm sorry. I'll give you. I think of you first of all, and.
Right.
That one's just sort of like, it's clearly sad, and if I had to give you one sad song, I'll give you a star on that one as being a sad one. But
I'll take it.
You'll
take
that one, and then our last goodbye. Okay, that's kind of not really That is almost like the younger relationship thing where, you know what I'm saying? Is that, tell me a little bit about that song, because I think...
Well, once again, I approached it the same way that I could have slowed that song down and mm-hmm. made it a ballad, but I chose not to because of the instrumentation. You know, I always loved some of the things that Glenn Campbell done. I always thought that was so good, the way he would do Gentle on My Mind and those kind of tempos. And so I sort of had that in mind. And I slowed it down, and it worked well when I slowed it down. I thought, no, I think I'm going to go right back up with it. Mm-hmm. And so I did experiment a little bit with the tempos, but it felt good there for me. You know, vocally and musically, and I did do this first time I've done this as far as with the band. I went in and I recorded all the songs with just me and the guitar, and then I made each of the band members a copy and sent it to them, and just said, just listen to this. And so they listened to it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, and we had never put any kind of arrangement at all. But they came in and basically we took sort of a guitar vocal demo and then created our arrangements around that.
Okay.
There's something different, a different way, a different approach.
Yeah, okay.
I just thought I would try that this time, and it seemed to work very well. But the band was more, even they were familiar with what we were doing a little bit because they had been, you know, listening to it in their cars, in their homes, and it they're all right in the pocket with everybody.
Isn't it funny how much music, and I do this all the time, that you listen to in the car, that's almost become like a place. Of course, you have studio and whatnot, but for me, when I get new music, you know, it's almost driving back and forth in the car that I really get a chance to listen to it all.
Exactly. It's exactly right.
Which is kind of weird. I mean, it used to be you had to go turn the record over, and you would sit, uh-huh. once you went through all the effort of putting the vinyl on, you weren't going to go anywhere, because first of all, it would hit that paper ring and start making noises. But you know,
right.
now it's so portable that you just leave in the middle. But in the car, it seems to me people listen to stuff. Then you get to Bad News at Home, which sounds like wants to be a. That's actually kind of a humorous tune to me. you know you're going to get it. You know you're going to get it.
that's a story that came actually when I was with Merle. You know, we used to play a lot out in Nevada, out in Lake Tahoe and Reno and Las Vegas. You know. And so that my wife, I've called her quite a few different times and asked her to send me a little money.
It's fun. Man, you know what? We should. I have to talk to you more because I just had this big smile on my face, Ronnie. And it was like this the last time. And I've told people to go back in the archives and listen to you and Sonny, because this is no lie. For the last half hour of that time, I turned my mic down. And you guys were laughing for half an hour. That's all I remember of it. And it was just hysterical. Because you'd say one word that would start a story for him, and then you'd be off. I turned my mic down, just let you guys go. But,
Sonny Osborne is one of my dearest friends, and I just thank the world of him, and of course Bobby too.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a very unique. He is such a talented man, and I think the world of Sonny Osborne. Life would have been very boring had there not been a Sonny Osborne.
I find that out more and more every day, as you know. He is. There's just, I don't know. He's one of a kind. He's one of a kind.
He is.
And all that great stuff, and he still is. I say this about people that don't know him, and you'll get this right away, that if he's your friend, he's your friend.
That's right.
And if he's not, he's not. Not much you can do about it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody used to ask me, said, Ronnie, how did you get along with Sonny? I said, very well.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny was a dear friend. We never had, not the first word. Mm-hmm. Not the first word, you know.
To me, whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. And I just know that, you know, whatever he... If I need him for something, I can't tell you the times I've called him during the week and say, what do you think about this? And he helped me one time find a car for my daughter, a used car. That's no lie. I mean, it was just like, well, what do you think? Because, you know, he's always buying cars and trading them off and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Sonny helped me find my first house.
Yeah.
He did. He went and found it for me. He said, Ronnie, there's a house over there on Chirac Road you ought to go look at. Okay. So I went over and bought it.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, boy, this is such – you have to be really – I love this album, and I was in my office last night, and I just had it running and running and running, and it was been like my second real time to be saturated with it. But I just lessons learned. It's just a really solid. I put that thing on Facebook because your singing is just so comfortable and good and strong, and the songs are so good, and it just this is you got to be really happy with this.
I am. You never know exactly. I equate this to having a child. You know, because it's with you for the rest of your life. And so you never know exactly what the end result is going to be when you start these things. And so I am, we put a lot of energy and a lot of time into it, but I am very happy with the way it has come out. And I appreciate you guys giving us a chance to air it out on radio.
I've been playing it. Listen, how do people, let's not forget the rest of the members of the band. I'm going to go through that again. How do people find Lessons Learned? I know you have a website because I've seen it and made use of it. So let's tell people how to find Lessons Learned.
Well, you can go to RonnieReno.com. You can go to RuralRhythmRecords.com. You can find it on Amazon. It's out and about just about everywhere, which way. We have great distribution with this record. It's distributed through E1, Entertainment One, and so it's we've got it out there, and so and just you know basically it's just go to social media and say where can I buy Ronnie Reno's new Lessons Learned, and it'll point you right in the right direction.
You're going to be out and about with this band and doing a lot of stuff from this album?
Yeah, oh, definitely so. Yes, we are. We're definitely going to do actually, we just did our little Reno Fest down in Hartsville, and I think I did just about every one of them except one or two that I didn't get to. And people, they really really seemed like they liked it a lot. I actually had to do the instrumental twice.
Did you really?
Yeah, they enjoyed that very much. So.
And of course, then they can find where you're going on tour on the same website where they can find the album. That's the reason I bring it up.
Well, I normally go to MikeScott.com.
Okay.
Find out where we're going to be.
Okay.
Mike keeps it up.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned Mike and we've talked about his banjo playing, let's go through the rest of the people in the band and then on this album too, and then I'll let you get back.
Okay. Heath Van Winkle is playing upright bass and singing the middle harmony with me. And Heath has been with me since 2001 too, the same time Mike joined the band. John Mayberry plays mandolin. John's been with me since he was 17, and I think he's about 27 now. I can't believe it. He's been with me that long. But the great fiddle player, Brother Steve Day. Steve is a wonderful fiddle player, and just tickled to death to have him with us. And that's the Reno tradition.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I've seen you guys out. I don't know that I've seen everybody. I know that I've seen you with Mike Scott, and I just can't remember where it was. I don't know how many I've seen of this. Probably the most of this band you just described from the length of their tenure with you, I've probably seen them all out. But you always put on a great show.
Well, we enjoy the music. We have a good time. We enjoy traveling together, and we have a good clean show, and just do our thing.
You're having a good time.
We are.
After all these years, Ronnie, and all the stuff you've been, all the bands and. And you're still having a good time, and it comes through so much. And even on this record, it comes through that you're enjoying it. That's why you can't sing a sad song.
Well, down through the years, I've always tried to diversify myself. I'll go from one thing to the next. I try not to just stay in one groove for the entire time. You know, I may go be a songwriter for a couple of years, and then I may be a publisher for a couple of years, and then I may be a TV producer for several years. I may be a booking agent for a few years. I mean, you know, I sort of try all aspects of the entertainment industry, and that's basically what it takes for a lifetime in our business is, you just can't, I was talking to a gentleman today, actually, it was Del McCurry's manager, and he said, Ronnie, he said, I was telling him it had been quite a while since I put the record out, and so Chris said, Ronnie, he said, anything that you thought you knew about the business, he said, as of a year and a half ago, he said, throw it out the window.
It all changed. Yeah.
He said, it's all changed.
Well, that's all true except for the part about the feel and the taste and the phrasing and all those things that make the musical elements. How you get it out there has maybe changed.
It takes time. Yeah. It's like a vintage instrument.
You're right.
How does it sound like that? Well, it's because it's X amount of years old. So hopefully that's what the experience will do is be able to let you tell a story with a little more feel and in the way that people, you know, simplicity is the hardest thing in the world to do. To be simple about something that is easy, but it's not. The simplicity of it is the art in itself.
That's where the taste comes in that we talked about.
I think so.
You know, most of the guys in your band could probably go take off, and you could too, and do a solo and just have a great time all by yourself. But at some point, you're going to lose the point of the song and what you're trying to convey to the audience.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. When in doubt, play the tune.
That's exactly right.
Every time.
Well, you are right. You are dead on right, Ronnie. Well, this has been a blast. Like I appreciate so much Ronnie Reno coming on and chatting with me for a while. And anytime, man, if I'm back, if you're getting up with the chief and I happen to be in town, I'll try to sneak in and we'll get together down there at some point.
Well, let's do it. It would hurt my feelings if you was in town and I didn't know about it.
I'll do it. Ronnie Reno, thanks a lot, man. This has been a blast. Thanks so much for coming on Unreal Bluegrass.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much again to Ronnie Reno for dropping by and talking about the new album and some other stuff. We get veered off course a little bit, but it's hard for me to talk to Ronnie and stay on topic and not just laugh and have a good time. That's just the way he is, and I hated to keep coming back to that point that, you know, Ronnie, you just can't sing a sad song because he's so happy. And even the sad ones on the album, Lessons Learned, and there's a lot of them, and Lower Than Lonesome ought to be the saddest song you can imagine just from the title, but everything on there is upbeat, and the topics may be sad, but they're always there's a positive ring to everything. What was the point of my veering off on that topic with Ronnie? It's a great album, Lessons Learned.